Good morning, podcasting morning chat. Today is Tuesday, February 27th, 2024, and we've got a two-parter for you today. The first half of our show, we're going to be speaking with our community members, talking a little bit about them and their guests, and then we're going to have a special guest, podcast legend, podcast Hall of Famer Rob Greenlee joins us, and we'll talk about the past of podcasting and the future. So if you don't mind, please share this with a fellow podcaster, and in the meantime, give us about 2 minutes, and we'll get things rolling. I may have some tech issues to deal with as well. You guys hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Gotcha.
All right. So I think this has to do with a loose connection, a bad wire. That's the only thing I can think of. So I'm going to try not to touch my pod track too much and say good morning. Hello. It's one of those weeks, I suppose. And traveling, I thought I had this setup perfected. If you're listening on the podcast, you've only been with us for a few weeks now. If you've been a live listener, you know I have done this before multiple times, especially over the past 6 months or so. I've been doing a lot of back and forth between Asheville, North Carolina, and my old hometown, Maryland. So I thought this was all perfected and haven't really changed anything, but we are still having issues. So I think I have narrowed down the problem and I want to move on. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start with the icebreaker question. And I should say, when I started the intro this morning, I said we may have a guest. And I hadn't heard from the guest since we were going back and forth yesterday afternoon. I will say the guest is Rob Greenlee. We've had his name bounce around a few times here. Stacy has gotten to know him well. I had a great dinner with him, Stacy, and a few other people when we were at PodFest. I got to know him, even though he and I have both been around this industry for quite a while, never really had a moment to sit down and chat with him. So we are supposed to do that today, and I didn't get that final confirmation. So I prepared, but also prepared to have another discussion just in case. So with that, though, I think I'm going to go with the icebreaker I had planned on. As you guys know, I've been trying to come up with icebreakers that are fitting with the theme of the show. And so I had a guest-related icebreaker. And since I'm talking guest, I'm just going to go for it because I think today will be a bit of a hodgepodge of topics. So today's icebreaker question, starting with you, Nick. If you could co-host an episode with one of your past guests, who would it be and what would the topic be? Go for it. Good morning.
Good morning, officially everyone. Just because it's top of mind, and I was messing with some videos from this interview, I would probably go with Pat Flynn. And I mean, it would make sense that the topic be entrepreneurship or podcasting related. Not exactly sure what, but I think it'd be fun to just co-host. When I initially did that interview, I was nervous as hell because I was pretty fresh into podcasting, and it kind of took me by surprise that I got him on the show. So now having the experience, I feel like I'd be a lot more calm and collected, and I think it'd just be a lot better show.
Fair, that's fair. And yeah, I think he would be a fun co-host. He can be really smart and really serious, and he's also got that childlike fun side about him, which I would know I would appreciate in a co-host. So I'm with you there. And I was thinking about that, Nick, about, because we were actually talking a little bit about when you had Pat Flynn on, and you had mentioned to me that there were a lot of nerves involved in that. And looking back out on it, like, do you feel like that was justified, really? Or do you think that's just more about being a newbie and just being unsure? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, I think so. Looking back on it now, like if I could go and redo the interview or have another interview with them, I think it would go a lot better. Because it was kind of like after that point, I had realized like I'm making a bigger deal out of this than it needs to be. And I mean, to Pat's like credit, he made it really easy. Like once we got into the interview, I got a lot more comfortable with it. Like he was such an easy person to talk to. So yeah, it was like after that interview, kind of the main bulk of my fears doing interviews with people kind of went away. And yeah, it was just kind of like a starstruck thing because I had been listening to him for so long, and it was like, holy shit, I can't believe I have him on the show. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Kind of like, oh my God. But now I think it wouldn't be as daunting. To be just kind of fun again at this point.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to go to Alex. Alex, I'm very interested in your answer because I know you've had the opportunity to also interview some actors and celebrities. So if you could co-host an episode with one of your past guests, who would it be and what would the topic be?
Okay, I'm going to totally name drop Harold friggin' Perrineau because he can talk about whatever the frig he wants. He is the coolest cat in the world. I mean, like, he's so smooth. He is awesome. But as much as I would, and I mean, I would still, I'm like still awestruck. So he'd be an awful like person to podcast with, because unlike Nick, I would be losing my crap.
And you have had him as a guest.
I have had him. Well, yeah, I've interviewed him. Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
But the other person I would really, it's still on the same show, and her name is Pega Grufara. She's also on the show, and she's a Canadian actor who is from Iran, and just her story just seems really amazing. I think that being Middle Eastern, I think it would be really kind of a neat conversation, and especially with what's going on in the world these days. Mm-hmm. Anybody from the cast would be really cool, but I mean, anytime you can say Harold Perrineau, I mean, I'm sorry, it, to me that's pretty cool. With all the people I've interviewed, that's pretty much it.
Love it. Thank you, Alex. Love that answer. All right, let's keep it moving and say hello to Sid. Good morning, Sid. If you could co-host an episode with one of your past guests, who would it be and what would the topic be? Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. I would choose the guest that I would choose. So this, her name is Alexandra Stefos. She's been a guest on my show twice, and I have hosted a panel discussion or participated in a panel discussion with just she and I talking about the future of the office furniture industry. And it just be really great. She's got a ton of energy. He's really dynamic. We bounce off each other really well. And I would absolutely love to co-host a show with Alexandra.
Awesome. Awesome. And I should say, I will make sure if I'll say it like this, if any of our co-hosts on stage, moderators on stage, if you guys want to send me a link to the interview that you did with this co-host, please do. I'll add it to the show notes for our podcast audience. Dominic, good morning to you. If you could co-host an episode with one of your past guests, knowing that Black is America doesn't generally have guests, you're more featuring historical figures. I know you've also done other podcasts, so I'll let you decide how to handle this one. Who would it be, and what would the topic be? Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is well. So Black is America does have guests from time to time, because sometimes we have to interview, like, you know, historians and stuff like that. So just to be fair. But from my entrepreneurial show, The Startup Life, I would love to co-host an episode with Mark Randolph. So Mark Randolph is the co-founder of Netflix. And so what we would talk about, I would probably probably do like a reenactment of the, in a narrative form, of the first couple of hours of Netflix. He told a fantastic story on the show and stuff like that. So I would love to kind of redo that one, that part of it. So I think that would be really cool, with like the bell ringing and the server crashing and all that stuff and the emotion around it. That's probably what I would do.
Fair enough. And Dominic, are we making lunch this morning?
We are making lunch this morning, but I haven't decided what just yet. So right now I'm about to make some really delicious hash browns from Trader Joe's, because our family just discovered Trader Joe's, and we're about to see what these hash browns are talking about. I haven't decided as far as lunch whether I'm going to make either turkey pot pie or taquitos for Zoe. So I'm still deciding.
Love it. And those hash browns, I think I know which ones you're talking about. Do they kind of resemble maybe a bigger version of the McDonald's hash browns? Is that right?
They do. And I've been told by multiple sources, including Crystal Hill down there in the audience, that they're extremely delicious.
Yes.
So I'm about to find out.
Dominic, yeah. You got to get the silver dollar pancakes.
Ooh.
Okay.
To go with that.
Lucy loves those things. They're like a food group.
Now, we do have like the pancake poppers, if you will, pancake puffs, and they're delicious. So I'm going to have to go see about these silver dollar pancakes you're talking about. About to try out these hash browns.
Nice. There it is. We just heard the oven go off. I was stalling just so we could hear that oven go fair off. Enough. I don't know if it could. Yeah, there it is. I don't know if it comes through or not sometimes with the podcast. I've listened back. Sometimes it doesn't pick it up as well. But I got to keep things moving. So I'm going to come to you, Walt. Good morning. We are asking if you could co-host an episode with one of your past guests. Who would it be, and what would the topic be? Good morning, Walt.
Good morning. Good morning. I kind of hate this question, because I remember someone asked me once to pick a favorite episode of mine. I was like, I can't do that. They're like, all my children. I birthed a lot of children's. So I was going through my feed, and the one that I stopped on, actually, as you were asking me the question, it's an episode I did with someone named Vanity Reed Dieterville, somebody I had met in Charleston, and we had a really dope conversation on just like unlearning whiteness, because my podcast is centered around Black community and cultural conversations. And as I was looking at her episode, I was like, you know what, I actually like to dig a little deeper into like her work in the trans community and what she's doing, and also the relationship with the Black community. So I think there's just a lot of like really kind of interesting conversations there to dig deep, and she's someone with a lot of information, and yeah, so it'd be a good episode. So that's one you caught me on.
Right on. Well, yeah, again, please feel free to share a link, and I'm happy to put that in the show notes today. And I'm going to keep it moving. I'm going to, because we've got some people here on stage joining me and our co-hosts. So, Soda, good morning to you. Did you want to play along and share if you could co-host an episode with one of your past guests, who would it be and what would the topic be about?
Yeah, mine is really simple. I just, every time I co or I have Paula as a guest or I'm on hers, I feel like I open up a lot more and become more comfortable and less guarded. So I love every time I get to work with her. So that's who I would choose.
I love that answer. And yes, I can relate to that. I've been on her show a couple of times now. And yeah, there's something about the conversation where you feel a little more loose, a little more open. She seems to pull that out of us. That's really awesome. And missing Paula. She hasn't been in the audience for the past, I don't know, week or so. And I've been communicating with her. It's nothing personal. Looking forward to having her join us again. Was she, Alex, she was there on Friday, right? Friday night?
Yeah, I just think she's got a lot going on.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. She's got a lot of stuff, personal stuff going on and some exciting stuff as well going on. So we will, I'm sure, see her soon. Let's keep it moving and say hello to Amanda. Good morning, Amanda. Good to have you on stage. If you could co-host an episode with one of your past guests, who would it be and what would the topic be about?
Hey, good morning. If I had to co-host, I recently just had a woman on my show. Her name was Julianne Waters, most affectionately known as Juju. She has her own show. She's a Hollywood choreographer, director, editor, producer. And man, she just brought some great energy. She knows how to really work a conversation and make it entertaining and educating and all the things we talked about. It was a Valentine's Day episode, so we did Valentine's Day Q&A with a little TNA for anybody who was looking for some ideas for Valentine's Day. And we just rocked it. I mean, the banter between the two of us was just so organic. And it was easy to just flow the entire episode with her. So I would definitely love to do another podcast episode with her. I think we would probably talk about multiple things because the flow of my podcast this season is kind of segmental. So I kind of talk about, you know, I have my soapbox moment where I give a little inspo. I talk about things in the entertainment world, things I find on, you know, the internet, and just have a conversation about it. So I can't really nail down one topic. We'd probably talk about multiple things, but it would be entertaining for sure.
Awesome. Thank you, Amanda. Very cool. There was something you said that I wanted to follow up with. It was something about the episodes and the format, and I can't remember the word you used.
Segmental?
Yes. I'm curious if you could expand on that a little bit. What do you mean by
that? Yeah, so, you know, I think this flow actually helps with the way that my brain works, and which is very like sidebar moment, you know. It's hard for me to stay focused for long periods of time. Not since using Magic Mind. So use Magic Mind if anybody's looking for focus. Shout out to my sponsor. But you know, focusing on one topic, to me, you know, it's hard for my personality and for the humor that I love to bring in my content to come out with just the same topic the entire episode. So what I found was, you know, if I could still bring inspiration and bring things that are relevant, that are going on in the world, on the internet, as well as, you know, a story from a personal experience that I feel that my audience needs at that moment, that's what I'm going to bring. So that's what I've started doing. And I try to keep them like a half hour, and I just talk about like three different things. I also have a caller hotline. So I encourage my community to write in with a question, and it can be anonymous or they can leave their name, of things that they want me to touch on. So I usually wrap up the episode with that. And I talk about things that we see on Instagram or social media. And then I bring, you know, a soapbox moment. I'm actually curating, you know, kind of like a tagline for each of these. So that's organically happening as of present. I don't have them currently. But that's what I mean by segmental, just kind of like breaking up the episode and just bringing all things to the table. And it's fun. It's entertaining, I feel. It keeps people captivated and intrigued, especially when you tease the beginning of the episode with something that you're going to be talking about at the end of the episode. You're guaranteed that people are going to listen to the entire episode. So I've been really enjoying it, and it flows with the way that my brain works.
Love that. Thank you, Amanda. And why I love that is it feels like something that we were talking a little bit about yesterday, about crafting your podcast in a way that works well for you, right? And we talked even about that there is a form of art involved in creating a podcast. And art to me is really, it's work that's not influenced by the outside world. It's coming from within, right? So Amanda recognized that her podcast, she couldn't just talk about one thing for an extended period of time. That just didn't work for her. So she found a way to segment her podcast episode and share information, value, entertainment in a way that works for her. And I think then that helps you really attract your audience, the people that are meant to be listening or watching your show. So I love that example. Thank you for bringing that. And I'm going to go to Sandy. Good morning to you, Sandy. And I don't know if I don't generally like to do this, but I was so excited that I have to. I don't know if you subscribe to the Ironic Media newsletter, but we featured your podcast last week. So I wasn't sure if you saw that. And I just wanted you to know we gave you a shout out last week. And I want to see if you want to play along with the icebreaker. If you could co-host an episode with one of your past guests, who would it be and what would the topic be? Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, and thank you for the feature. Actually, Alex told me on Friday night, so I am honored. Thank you for featuring the
You're
podcast.
You're welcome.
So for me, I would do another episode with my nephew. His name is Kenmar Johnson, and I interviewed him back in 2020. He's one of the first episodes that I had. And so Kenmar is a cancer survivor. And have you ever had an experience that you know it was outside of your control, but you know you prayed, and because of those prayers, you have seen just the blessings of what you prayed for? So Kenmar is that for our family, and he is such a ball of inspiration and confidence. And so during 2020, when, you know, the kids were really struggling with being home and having to do this online learning, Kenmar was on my podcast encouraging kids to still do your work, still be committed to what you need to do to achieve your goals. And so it's just exciting to see he is now graduating from high school in June, and he is just amazing. I look at him, he's won a National Scholar Award. He was able to come down here to Atlanta to accept that award at Georgia Tech with his peers from all over the U.S. And so I definitely will have another episode with him, but he's my guy. He encourages me. He inspires me. He's one of the top shows on my podcast. And I just feel like everyone needs a little shot of inspiration from Kenmar. He's just a special dude.
Thank you, Sandy, for sharing that. And if you want to share a link to that episode where he was your guest, please share it. You can share it here in the chat. And if you want to send it to me, I'm happy to put that in the show notes as well. That goes for anyone who has shared on stage this morning. And speaking of being on stage this morning, we have Rob Greenlee here, who I had mentioned may be joining us this morning. And quite frankly, Rob, I'm glad that you came a little bit late because I was dealing with all sorts of tech problems. I'm traveling and doing it from the road today. And I know you, I'm sure you can probably relate. And I'm glad you didn't have to be here to see it. So,
yeah, well, thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here. And I got the pleasure of getting to know Rob a little bit at PodFest. We randomly went to dinner, and actually Stacy, I think, was the one who really orchestrated that dinner. So it was great to get to know Rob, and I'm really actually looking forward to sharing my first question with you, Rob. Before I do, I saw Simona wanted to say something, so let me go to Simona first, and then we'll kick it off with Rob. Good morning, Simona.
Good morning. No, I wasn't wanting to say anything. I was just saying hi to Rob.
Oh, you were just waving. Okay.
I was just waving.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. No problem. And by the way, I should also quickly mention, I've had pinned up on the top of this page, and I will put it in our show notes for the podcast, we have officially, as Simona told us yesterday, started accepting speaker applications to our in-person event at the end of June in Charlotte, North Carolina. We had another committee meeting yesterday, and things are really coming together nicely. And I should say, we have had a flurry of activity for speakers. We've had a lot of people inquiring, a lot of people going to this link that I've shared with you. So if you want to be a speaker, please take advantage. This is going to be available to you until, I believe, it's March 22nd, and then we will no longer be accepting application. So please go ahead and do that if you want to be a speaker at our event in Charlotte. Okay, so a lot of you probably know who Rob is, and some of you may not. And Rob has been around this industry for quite some time. I know that sometimes I will share and maybe even boast a little bit that I've been in the podcasting game for about 20 years. I believe Rob has been in this game even longer. He's been with companies like Microsoft, Libsyn, Podbean, etc. And we'll dig into that. However, I want to take this in a different direction to kick things off, because I want you to get to know Rob the way I got to know Rob. And if you think that I only do icebreakers here in the room to kick off each morning, you would be mistaken, because we were at a group dinner, and I tend to enjoy getting to know everybody at the table. I'm a fan of the sidebar conversations. However, when I'm at a dinner with a lot of people I don't know, I like it to be more of a group activity. So I like to bring icebreaker questions to the room. The question I had actually asked to kick things off was about the first concert we've ever attended. But I believe there was another question. Oh, I think I asked this one. It was something that we may not know, or an interesting quirk or interesting fact about each other. And Rob, I think Rob stole the show with that conversation. And I was debating how we do this, but being that we have only about a half hour, I was thinking we could do some 20 questions, but I want to get to it. So Rob, would you mind sharing that tidbit? I even looked around. I haven't seen any podcasts where you've shared this information before. I'm sure maybe you have, but it's not out there for everybody to know necessarily. So would you mind sharing that interesting fact you shared with us that night at dinner?
I think it was that I created the world's largest glass of orange juice and set the Guinness Book of World Records for building the world's largest glass of orange juice for the Florida citrus industry. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Would you mind sharing a little bit about what made you construct the world's largest glass of orange juice?
Well, I was working for the Florida Department of Citrus at the time as a field marketing manager. I was actually based up in Seattle, Washington, of all places. It couldn't be any further across the country from Florida. But that role was a state of Florida role that I had. So my boss actually worked for the governor of Florida at the time. And so I was doing a bunch of marketing campaigns to support the Florida citrus kind of brands out there, like Tropicana, Minute Maid, all Florida's Natural, the fresh a citrus industry. So I was doing a lot of TV and radio and billboards and promotions and things like that to get people aware of the Florida citrus products. And so one of the ideas that I had was to come up with building the world's largest glass of orange juice at the time. And I physically had it built up in the Seattle area. And it was about 10 feet tall and it held about 720 gallons of orange juice. And I got the Tropicana folks to give me all the orange juice to fill it up a few times. Actually, I filled it up at like festivals and I actually used the glass as a sampling tool. And you can go see it online. If you just do a search in Google for world's largest glass of orange juice, it'll come up in the top search results. You can see pictures of it and things like that. And there's even a video on YouTube that you can go see that's had, I think it's had like 70,000 views or something like that. And it was a self-contained kind of refrigerated glass of orange juice. So I could actually take it to a festival and set it up outside or in a grocery store. Actually, the first time I used it was in a grocery store up in Seattle. Or actually set it up inside of the produce department in a grocery store. And so I was really the only one that was brave enough to set this thing up and fill it up with orange juice. Cause after I left the Florida Department of Citrus, I shipped the glass back to Florida. Cause I used it at like the produce marketing convention and things like that. Now I fill it up with grapefruit juice too at one point, but I can only set one record. I can only set one record, and I set it for orange juice. So, but I could have easily had the world record for the world's largest glass of grapefruit juice too, but they wouldn't accept two records.
Right. That's pretty fascinating. How many people did you have helping you construct this thing?
Yeah, I worked with, four different entities to help me do it. I obviously, you know, I would have had to have worked on with an engineering firm. So I worked with an engineering firm to come up with the physical kind of build out for it, so it could hold the weight and kind of not explode, because that was the risk of this thing, is that you fill it up and the glass is tapered like a regular, you know, glass. And so I had to do a bunch of stress tests on the glass. But anyway, to answer your question, I had a refrigeration contractor that built a custom kind of way of keeping the orange juice at 34 degrees to keep it safe for people to drink. Because I use it as a sampling tool at festivals. I ran beer taps off of the circulation pump to actually serve it into smaller glasses that people could sample. So it was a sampling tool for the Florida citrus industry too. And it was filled up with Tropicana, not for concentrate orange juice. So it was pretty expensive. And I got the orange juice to the glass in gigantic pallet size bag and boxes of orange juice. So I think each box held like 250 gallons or each pallet. And so I would actually pump the orange juice out of the pallet into the glass, and then I would serve it out of the glass at the festival over multiple days. So that's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
Quite a setup. Yeah.
So, yes. So how, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe this may have been prior to your career in podcasting.
Correct.
Okay, so how do you make the transition from making the world's largest glass of orange juice into podcasting?
Well, I think the common thread in all of this was back in those days, I was getting very much involved in using the online kind of revolution to do a lot of marketing stuff. And so I built the first Florida citrus website too at floridajuice.com. And so that got me into, and I was already working with media back then. I was doing ad campaigns on radio and television and bus boards and billboards and working with like Costco and grocery chains to do sampling. So I was already kind of in the media business back then. I was buying a lot of campaigns up in the Seattle area and other markets on the West Coast too. So I was very much in the media side of things, and I was a marketing, you know, I was in a marketing role. I was in an advertising marketing role. So I was already in that mindset of creating media and facilitating media. So that got me interested in this revolution around what was happening with media in what was happening with the internet. So this was back in 1997, and that's what got me attracted into radio. And then what happened with the internet, about that same time frame is when Netscape was kind of like reaching its kind of peak in popularity, as well as and then a little bit later, I believe Microsoft launched the Internet Explorer. And so we had this revolution that was happening around online media at the time. And so that's what attracted me. And then podcasting kind of came quite a bit later. But I went into a radio station and started talking about the Internet revolution. The show I did back in 1999, so this was just a couple of years after the Big Glass was built, that I went into a radio station up in the Seattle market and started doing a show every week about the internet and about what was happening with that, and brought in guests and had co-hosts and all that stuff. And that's what really got me into this. And then that show wound up getting taken out as a podcast back in September of 2004, is when I took that show out, on as a podcast. So, you know, I had an enclosure and all that stuff like the traditional podcast, but that was before even any podcast hosting platforms even existed. So I had my own servers co-located, because there wasn't any way of doing this, you know, with a podcast hosting platform. So I had to build everything from scratch to actually support it. So I had a blog and things like that. So I just added the enclosure tag to my blog RSS feed. And all of a sudden I was a podcaster. And at the time it wasn't anything significant for me. It was really just one more piece of my distribution strategy, which I was already doing satellite radio. I was on about 15 broadcast stations. And I was doing a lot of direct transfers of digital versions and streaming online off my website. So that's kind of where most of my listening was coming from, was from just streaming back in the early days, which is kind of ironic to the topics of today, but
yeah.
And we seem to be moving back to more streaming models now, which we don't really need to be on streaming. It's just more convenient, and it has better monetization capabilities for a lot of the bigger companies. Downloads has always been a little bit of a struggle for the more commercial side of podcasting.
Yeah, for sure. And so we were just talking yesterday about video and how strongly it's coming on in the world of podcasting specifically. Obviously, video's been around for quite a while, but it's really almost becoming synonymous with podcasting now. And we were talking a lot about whether or not it's needed, and if so, how much or how necessary is it to have it? And I'm curious your take, because you really started similarly to me with that passion and love for the audio side of it, and now here we are with video. So what's your take on it? Do you feel it's absolutely necessary to have video with a podcast? And either way, tell us a little bit more about why you feel that way.
I think the simplest thing for me to say at this point is that when I started in podcasting, and I'm going back to the 2006 timeframe, whatever, video was huge in podcasting. So for me, to some degree, this is a conversation that's a little bit of a back to the future kind of a concept, because podcasting and has always, in my view, been seen as kind of a useful multi-use type of medium, right? Where it has video and audio, and even documents like PDFs have been shared in the same kind of conversation as podcasts. So, you know, to me, RSS has always been kind of just a content syndication that can be used for video. And whole media companies started back in that time frame. About in the same time frame and a little bit earlier than when YouTube started. So So as I think about video and podcasting, I think that there's a natural fit. I mean, back when I was working for Microsoft, I built the Windows Media Zoom video podcast platform in the Windows Media Center. I know, and many of you may not know what Windows Media Center was, but it was the Microsoft solution for online videos to play on televisions. And so I had about probably 7,000-8,000 video podcasts that were in my catalog under the name podcast back in the day. And so I populated a whole kind of viewing experience in that for Microsoft. And so it was a huge thing. And there were whole media companies that started that were just doing video podcasting back in the earlier days of this medium. So to just kind of jump ahead from that, there was an era of time over the last, probably the last 10, 12 years where most people have thought of podcasting as just an audio only medium. And that's just really as a result of the dominance and growth of YouTube. Because a lot of those early video creators that were doing video podcasting, they wound up moving all their videos over to YouTube because it was cheaper to host it over there. YouTube was paying for all the bandwidth to deliver all those videos, where prior to that, those media companies had to pay for all the bandwidth to deliver those videos, and that was expensive back then. But delivering video now is not as expensive as it used to be back in 2007 and 2008 timeframe. So, you know, that's why we've seen really, I think, this growth of video in YouTube, in this perception that it is a podcast in YouTube, but that's more recent. And so it was really the decline of video podcasting for many, many years. So as I talk about this topic of video and podcasting and where we are today, to kind of fast forward, because I could give you a lot more context, but I want to just kind of take us up to more modern days, is that when YouTube decided that they were going to, you know, start using the word podcast in their platform, it caused a really kind of stir in the industry. And because the industry had its vision of what they thought this medium was supposed to be, it was about audio. And there were so many companies and so many entities, and a lot of the podcast hosting platforms never deployed a video. I mean, if you look at like a Buzzsprout or whatever, which is probably the largest podcast host now, they launched in an era when video wasn't something that anybody did. So, and if they did, it was only on YouTube, and it was called a YouTube playlist or a YouTube show. It wasn't ever called a video podcast. But when they decided to start using the term podcast in their platform to create a playlist and then the subsequent rollout of a YouTube Music, it just caused everybody to kind of recalibrate around their perception of where video belonged in the podcast medium. And so we're kind of in a time now where I think in a lot of ways this perception of video and podcasting is really coming out of the younger generation coming into this medium and growing up with video in all sorts of other platforms as well. So the interest in video is very high right now. And YouTube has recognized, and there's research that's come out that say that increasingly consumers of videos on YouTube are seeing those videos on YouTube. If they look like a podcast, they sound like a podcast, they must be a podcast. And some of them are actually also distributed via RSS, but yet many of them are not, but they still look like a podcast. So that's where this growing perception is coming from, is that if you have a microphone in front of you and you're on camera, you must be doing a podcast. And so I don't really have a problem with that, because I think at the end of the day, podcasting is really unique around content, not necessarily its unique aspect is all about the distribution. And that's where the argument really comes in on all this, is it a podcast if it's not distributed via RSS? And that's the crux of the question. And And many in the industry would like it to be all about RSS because there's entrenched interest in that. I tend to look at the market more from how the audience or the viewer or the listener looks at this medium. And as a content creator, I think you need to think a little bit more about what the audience perceives and using language that they are associating with now.
Yeah, I see eye to eye with you on that one. I do believe that, to me, the definition of a podcast is more about the content that you're delivering. It's not necessarily about the medium. It can be audio. It can be video. Either way, it can still be a podcast. And we were talking yesterday, too, about the fact that, at least from the sampling of this community, we were finding that even the people who consume their podcasts using an app like YouTube, more of them are listening to it as opposed to actually sitting down and watching it.
That's true too. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, I think Dominic had a question for you. So I'm going to go to Dominic. Dominic, yeah, go ahead.
Sure. Hey, Rob, it's kind of good to meet you in this platform. I've heard your name a few times in different circles, but it's the first time actually speaking to you. I just had a quick question because I get a lot of new podcasters that, you know, ask for advice and stuff like that. And one of the biggest things they always ask about is monetization. And it's come to the point where they feel like they have to monetize. And so you've been in this game for a while. And I'm just curious to just get your thoughts on, do you see it problematic? Like, obviously people want to make money from their podcasts and stuff like that. I totally get it. But do you see it as problematic for the long term of podcasting that monetization is pushed so often, especially in the early days of podcasting for a new podcaster? Just your thoughts.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that comment that it's not necessarily where this medium came from. So if you look at the roots of the medium, I had a radio show back. I can just give you a quick example. You know, I had a radio show that, like I told you earlier, was on many radio stations, and I had sponsors, and I was running ads in my show and that kind of stuff. So, and I was a little bit shunned in the early days because I wasn't pure to the medium. Because when podcasting started, it was really kind of a little bit of an anti-establishment, anti-commercialism type of a platform and medium at the time. I mean, a lot of the reasons that podcasting even started was because of, I don't know if many of you know the platform Napster, which was basically stealing and redistributing music at the time. So via the format of the MP3, right? And there was a lot of kind of like pushing the establishment to the fore. And so if you look at it from that perspective, and I'm not saying that's necessarily the culture of today, but I do think that it's helpful to be able to look at the roots of this medium and to understand why it exists and where it came from. And in the earlier days of this medium, why this medium even exists at all, because it is an anomaly in the media landscape today, to have a medium like this, that basically its distribution is not proprietary. It's open. Though a lot of the consumption platforms that work with podcasting are proprietary. The distribution method that most people use for podcasting is pretty open, right? Our RSS standard is an open standard that isn't proprietary. There can be some proprietary elements inside of RSS, to be completely frank about it, but that's the roots of this medium. And podcasting, even today, well over half of the shows in podcasting don't have any advertising in it, and most shows do not have any commercial interest in them. They are shows that are produced because there's a passion for it, but that is not to say that most of those creators in the podcast space, especially today, don't have an interest in monetizing it. They would love to make some money from their efforts if they could, and if it was reasonable for them to, and if the audience would accept that. So I think we're in a little bit of a different era than it was in the early days, where it was a little bit, you know, shamed upon to have advertising in your podcast. Those days have changed. But nonetheless, that does show you a little bit of the culture of this medium and where it comes from. That it's really a medium that was trying to give a voice to normal people. And that's where the medium has wanted to be for a long time. And to really honestly be a free speech platform, to be a platform that anyone could participate in, was really the model, because oftentimes monetization is usually limited to, you know, certain big shows or bigger companies, that kind of thing. And that's always been a little bit antithetical to the culture of podcasting.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. And, you know, you said something in there that about advertising, that it used to kind of be shamed upon.
Yeah.
And
a long time ago, though.
Yeah. And I remember those days. And at the same time, we've had even conversations in this community, and I've had these conversations outside of the community. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on paid guest spots. There are two camps that I've seen, and they're very much on one side or the other. There are people that are very much for it and very much against it. I'm curious, where do you stand and why?
Well, it's a complicated question. I did play around with that concept a little bit. I had an opportunity to do some interviews for, this was many years ago, doing a paid kind of conversation on the airlines, right, through like a Delta Airlines kind of thing, where it would be like a paid placement to, you know, for me to have a guest on a show that would be distributed to, let's say, you know, American Airlines or something like that for in-flight listening, that kind of thing. And I found myself starting to do it, and I just didn't, it just didn't feel right to me. If I'm all about just creating the best content that I can, then having someone pay to be with me, it seems, I mean, if you can, and this is the difficult part, if you can bridge that divide between doing it because you actually believe in the content that you will be creating, at the same time getting paid, that's great. But oftentimes, I think in a way that if you're getting paid to do a conversation on a podcast, it's really kind of a it's an ad of sorts. I mean, I hate to be frank about it, but why would somebody be paying to be on your podcast if it wasn't some sort of a commercial interest behind it? Now, granted, that, and what confirms that is the payment, right? And that is going to limit, to some degree, your access to certain kinds of guests, right? So I guess it's walking this fine line of your integrity of the content that you're creating versus the commercial interest behind it and what those motivations are. I mean, if your motivation to having a guest on is because they paid to be there, or is your motivation to be there because they are going to be a terrific guest, that will make your content, you know, compelling and that kind of stuff. That's the struggle in my mind about it. I think that there's a place for it. And I think increasingly people are looking for ways to monetize their shows. And there's certainly a plethora of opportunities along those lines. And this is just one of them that you have to decide if it's something that aligns with your values and the kind of content that you're trying to create, and if you can actually still create good content for your audience and still get paid for it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as well. And by the way, Rob is not paid to be here.
No.
He's a free guest.
A commercial endorsement of music,
right? And yeah, and much appreciated that you are here. I believe Alex has a question. Go for it, Alex.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Rob?
Alex.
You know, you've been in this space for a very long time. What gets you excited about podcasting? Like, where do you see it going, and how do you think it's going to be better, or what is your take on the future of podcasting? since, you know, this has been your passion for so long.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting question from the standpoint of, well, where is media going? Because podcasting has always been kind of like a revolutionary platform or a medium in the media landscape, and I do think that it's taking a place in the media landscape right now that is much more significant in its presence and its usefulness than has ever been before. I think in a lot of ways the mainstream media and this is really a conversation really about what's happening in mainstream media as well, because that's always been kind of like a inverse of podcasting. And in some ways that is continuing to be the case, that podcasting is a differentiator in the ecosystem of media right now. It's different because it tends to be much more free speech. It tends to be much more open to topics that have a social impact. And increasingly, I think independent media creators, whether it's a podcast or a video podcast or whatever, and could be it could be kind of taking over. To be quite frank with you, I think that the future of podcasting under its current kind of form is really starting to reach its highest potential, which is really kind of taking over for mainstream media. If you're thinking about independent creators and voices, I think the bigger question for podcasting is as we've seen kind of suppression of views that's happened on some of the proprietary platforms, is that going to come to podcasting increasingly, even in an open medium? Are we going to be able to keep expressing our opinions and creating diverse content that may be contrary to what the establishment accepts or is willing to let you keep doing? I think that's the biggest question about the future of podcasting. But I'm very, very bullish on the future of podcasting, though I would say that we're seeing larger companies starting to gobble up and larger podcasts starting to gobble up more and more audience, right? Which is good and potentially bad. I'm a big fan of having audiences spread out over tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of shows or millions of shows versus having, you know, half of the audience in podcasting be with the top 100 shows or something like that. And I think that was the trend line that we were on prior to the more recent economic fall, was that the big shows are getting bigger and the smaller shows are not growing as much, I think is what was happening prior. But now we've seen, because of the economic pullback, audiences are continuing to be large, but yet there's fewer bigger media companies creating podcasts that are gobbling up those audiences. So I think that, like we saw back in 2009 timeframe, is that when the economic situation declines a little bit, that causes big creators to kind of shut down shows and streamline and cut costs, and that gives an opportunity for the independent creators to step in and capture some listeners, or in this case, increasingly viewers. And so I think now is an opportunity for podcasters to start and grow their shows. But it is a challenging landscape because of the level of content noise that's out there. And I probably shouldn't use the word noise, but there is a certain amount of content out there that is a challenge to kind of get found if you're producing content, especially a new creator. So I think what we're seeing too is, established people that have communities already typically have an advantage in podcasting, where they can reach audiences much quicker. But if you don't have an existing community or an existing audience, it may be a little harder to grow a podcast now. So that's kind of what I see, but it's going to continue to be a medium that is of social significance, just because of its open nature and open speech. Now, granted, is it the speech that we all want is the real question.
Absolutely. And Rob, I'm going to ask you one final question here. After all, actually two, because I really want to know where you would like people to go if they want to learn more about you. I've been sharing here on Clubhouse, robgreenlee.com, probably a great place, but I know you've also got podcasts yourself going on, and I want to make sure we hit that too. So please feel free to share. And my final question, after all these years in the industry, from making giant glasses of orange juice to your pioneering days of podcasting to your induction into the Podcast Hall of Fame, what's one piece of wisdom or a key takeaway you'd like to share with both our veteran podcasters here and those that are just starting out on their journey?
Yeah, I would just say, I don't know, I'm very kind of observant of the podcast medium and am very I'm always trying to learn about what's happening in the landscape today, and I guess I just want to encourage everyone to really put their heart and souls into their podcasts, and you know, to kind of dovetail with what I said prior about, you know, free speech and putting yourself out there and really kind of being who you are as much as you can is really key, I think. But I do kind of hope that and we can all, you know, focus on building community. And I think that's the other big revolution that's happening in podcasting right now and online in general is trying to build networks and building community. It's not about audiences anymore. I think it's more about community and building connections with people. I think, you know, coming out of the pandemic, I think in a lot of ways we lost a lot of community because people just didn't get together as much. Now, granted, we've seen that come back a little bit here more recently, but I think getting people together and thinking about building connections one-to-one, personal connections is the most important thing that we can all be doing right now, to helping others through challenging times and helping, and thus helping ourselves through challenging times. I think we're all in a challenging world right now that challenges us emotionally and thinking about the future. And so I just want to wish everybody, the best luck out there. And I do have some podcasts that I do myself. I'm doing a show for StreamYard now. It's called Podcast Tips with Rob Greenlee, and I do that live every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And that show is all about podcasting and what's going on with this convergence type of strategy. That's a pure content show. It's not an advertisement for StreamYard, but they do support me in that show. And then I also do another show called The New Media Show, which is also another live show I've been doing for about 13 years or so. It's at newmediashow.com. And that's every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern. I believe it's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern this coming Thursday, just because my co-host is traveling. But those are the two main shows. And then I also have another show called Spoken Life show also that I'm doing. But I have a fully built out kind of YouTube channel too that has a lot of these shows up there as well. So
awesome. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for coming. And I know we kind of threw this together quickly, and I appreciate you making it happen. And
yeah, well, thank you.
I mean, I guess this isn't the first time we've shared a Clubhouse stage either. I know we joined Jody Krangle from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and you are welcome here anytime. If you're up at 7 a.m. and looking for a good conversation around podcasting, join us anytime, really. Thank you all for being here.
All right. Well, thank you.
And thank you all for being here as well. And tomorrow, we've got another guest. It's the first time out of 2 years of doing this every Monday through Friday, two guests in a row. And tomorrow, we're going to be talking all about Facebook ads, Instagram ads. Can we do them? Can we afford them? And if so, how? So we'll dig into that. And again, like I said, we do this every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern time. If you haven't joined us and our house here on Clubhouse, please do. And if you haven't checked out the podcast, make sure you search for the Podcasting Morning Chat on your favorite podcast platform. And please rate, review, do all the things. We would appreciate it. Until tomorrow, make it a great day, everybody. Take care.